Like many villages and communities, Dedham recently held its horticultural show. There were over 400 entries, with people exhibiting, among other things, their marrows and potatoes and beans and raspberries and apples. Others exhibited flowers, yet others entered creative items, a photograph, floral display, or something baked in the kitchen. And I know you'll rejoice with me when I tell you I got a third for my pom-pom dahlia. It was impressive, but there were only three entries. As I proudly held my card proclaiming third prize, I could imagine my son saying, "So in other words, Dad, you came last." He's not big into the ministry of encouragement. And after the judging came the awarding of cups to individuals, all well deserved, with lots of appreciative applause. But as I stood there clapping, I did think that we too should be giving God a round of applause. For without the soil, the sun, the rain, there would be no harvest, nothing to actually exhibit. It is man cooperating with God that enables us to have a harvest. Last week, and this in our two churches, we are celebrating harvest. And around us we have the fruits of harvest, not least in the wonderful flower displays and arrangements. And down here we've got apples and potatoes and onions and eggs. Do come and have a look afterwards at the display. You'll also see Bible verses carved into a marrow and pumpkin. They come every year and it's wonderful. And the pumpkin says this year, that verse from the Psalms, "Let us come before him with thanksgiving." Whoever does it, it's a real gift to us as a church. And in the shopping trolley at the back for Beacon House, there are tins of meat and soup, beans and tomatoes, soap and shampoo and cereals. When we were on holiday in North Yorkshire recently, we attended the village church harvest service, and part of the procession of gifts brought forward was a sheep's fleece and also an expression of thanks for Wensleydale cheese. At harvest, we bring and offer our gifts to say thank you to God for all his goodness, and to celebrate harvest is a reminder not to be complacent, but to rejoice in God's goodness and to be thankful for the work of our farmers and fishermen, those involved in processing our food and other items, and those who transport it. I've probably told it before, but I love that story of the vicar at the children's assembly in school at their harvest festival. And the table was all laid out with the harvest produce. And he said, just look at all the potatoes and cabbage and cauliflower and onions and leeks. Just look. Look, there's sprouts. What one word covers all these?" And the little boy's hand shot up and said, "Gravy." Psalm 65 celebrates God's creative power and the earth providing corn, carts overflowing with abundance, meadows where flocks graze. These things the harvest observes, the psalmist observes, shout out joy and sing of God's goodness. In the words of the choir's anthem, which we're going to hear just a little bit later, which comes from the authorised version of Psalm 65 and verse 9, "Thou visitest the earth and blessest it, and blessest it." Harvest reminds us of God's bounty and blessing. And so we come with our offerings and sing out our thankful praise. And just maybe we should even give God a standing ovation and a rapturous round of applause. And it's very appropriate that harvest weekend falls in our sermon series on the fifth mark of mission. For the fifth mark is to treasure and safeguard the integrity of creation and to sustain and renew the earth. This is like the green mark of mission. And to understand why it's important, we need to go right back to the beginning and the book of Genesis to remind ourselves that God the Creator did not make us owners, but stewards of his creation, to care for it and look after it. Genesis 1 and verse 26 says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." If we're to take care of what God created and has entrusted to us, then as Christians, I believe we should see ourselves as environmentalist. Not to worship creation, but God, the creator of it. And if we love God, made known to us in Jesus, then along with appreciating all he's given us, especially a saviour, we will also want to care for his creation for the sake of ourselves and our neighbours, be it in Bangladesh, Ethiopia or Sudan, and for the generations to come. Let me remind you again of the fifth mark of mission: to treasure and safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the earth. I wonder what images or ideas come into your mind when you hear that word treasure. For me, it carries the idea of treating as precious, valuing, holding dear. But are we caring for our world like that? There have been two documentaries on television recently which were both disturbing and challenging. You may have seen them. One was entitled "Drowning in Plastic" and the other "Fashion's Dirty Secrets." And both highlighted the problems of pollution and the devastating effects on the environment. Indeed, the fashion industry is considered to be the second worst polluter after coal and gas. Operation Noah is a Christian charity whose focus is on a Christian response to climate change. And this is what was written in an article in 2012. "In recent decades, and with increasing urgency, climate scientists have warned of the dangers of catastrophic climate change resulting from human activity. Instability in weather systems is already bringing destruction and suffering to millions of people. In this light of the best knowledge we have, climate change could result in the loss of livelihoods and sometimes of life for huge numbers of people and the extinction of countless species. This matters because the well-being of all creation matters to God." We're only too aware of the changes in climate and of global warming, with the rise of sea levels affecting some of the poorest communities and people in the world. Last Monday, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, known as the IPCC, published its report, having drawn on 6,000 research papers, and sets out what is needed to limit warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade. And the report starkly illustrates that letting temperature rises climb more than 1.5 will lead to sea levels rising, more frequent heavy rainstorms and heat waves, greater drought, widespread disease, and more economic losses. There are, of course, some who refuse to accept that human activities having an adverse effect on climate change, despite research by scientists whose words, I believe, have been prophetic. Let me quote again from the article from Operation Noah. Prophets are those who speak truth, usually uncomfortable truth, to their generation. In ancient Israel, prophets were also shadowed by false prophets representing the ruling powers. We must listen to scientists' warning of approaching dangers, exercise discernment, and be wary of false prophets representing the vested interests of the powerful. We are to treasure and safeguard the integrity of creation and to sustain and renew the earth. But of course, we may feel rather helpless seeing the size of the problem. But we needn't give up hope, because there are things that we can do if we desire to care for the earth, both as individuals and as churches. For actually, this has probably been the most neglected area by the church. Firstly, be informed about the impact of our lifestyle and that of others that is having upon our environment, that we must educate ourselves. And if we know our activity and that of others is literally costing the earth, and we are passionate about seeing change, then we might engage in campaigning for climate change. But then there are other things we can do on a personal level. Check your energy at home is coming from a sustainable source, and if not, change your supplier. Where you can walk instead of using the car, and take advantage of public transport. Make the most of recycling, low energy bulbs and composting. You could turn down the heating a degree or two and put on a jumper. Be content with what you have. Do you really need a new phone, television, or clothing? Where can you buy locally? Where you can buy locally produced food. We're fortunate to live in an area of outstanding natural beauty. We can care for it by litter picking, bearing in mind personal safety and hygiene in what we do. I noticed the lady out cleaning our street out here this morning. We need to be jolly thankful for her. But she can't do it every moment, every day. What part can we play in caring for our environment? Now, these may seem to be small things, but if we and others do it, we will make a difference and show our love for God, the planet, and our neighbours. So as we rejoice at harvest time and thank God for his goodness, our fifth mark of mission reminds us we are not owners but stewards of the earth God has entrusted to us. And so as part of our mission, our calling is to treasure and safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the earth. And so we come to the end of our sermon series on the five marks of mission agreed by the Anglican Church. And of course, all mission stems from our relationship with Jesus. And the five marks are: proclaim the kingdom's good news, tell; baptize and nurture new believers, teach; respond to human need by loving service, tend; change society's unjust structures, transform; safeguard the integrity of creation, treasure. They are not a menu to pick from, but together are the five marks of mission for us as churches and individuals to own and actively seek to live out, but also to use them as pointers to see how we measure up as church and individually. For we might be stronger in some areas than others, and knowing that can enable us to make changes so that we can wholeheartedly and holistically engage in God's mission to the world he loves and sent his son to die for. So let us pray. Creator God, you made the goodness of the land, the richness of the sea, and the rhythm of the seasons. As we thank you for harvest, may we treasure and respect this planet and its peoples. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.